The pasuk in this week's parsha of Truma, on the bottom you see it. Ba'asu b'migdash, b'shachanti b'socha. So the question is, how should a religious home look like? I'm not talking about the aesthetic decor of a religious home, but the spiritual components, the spiritual character, the geist of a home, what should it look like? And we know that the Beis HaMikdash is called the Bayis. Also, the Mikdash for Shachadi B'Socham. Of course, this was a portable kind of sanctuary constructed by Klal Yisrael in the desert, but certainly it's a home that's worthy of emulation. So once in a Sheva Brachas, Bar Soloveitchik spoke about this mitzvah in the context of a married couple building a Bayis Nemo B'Yisrael, building a Mishkan. And let's examine now some of the furnishings of the Mishkan. So the Parsha in Truma tells us, as we know, tells us all the Klei HaMishkan, all the appurtenances that essentially were in the primary sections of the Mishkan, which of course is the Heichal, the Kodesh, the Kodesh Kadoshim. The most important item, the Ramban writes in Chumash, was the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh undoubtedly, because it's the Aron that contains the Luchos, and if you look at item number one, the Pasuk says, also well-known Rashi, V'nasat el Aron v'sa'edus, asha'etem elecha, so Rashi comments, HaTorah, she'ile'edus b'niu b'nechem, essentially all the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah are embedded in the Luchos Sa'edus, and that's of course found in the Aron HaKodesh. And unquestionably, the Aron HaKodesh represents essentially the essential Kli. Ramban number 5 points out when the Torah actually presents the Kli HaMishkan, the first one that is presented is the most important one, the Aron HaKodesh. On the bottom you see, Vosu Aron HaSeshitim, and the Ramban writes in number 5, Hinei Ikar HaChevetz B'Mishkan Hu Mekom Menuchas HaShchina Shu Aron. That's the central Kli, which is in the Mishkan. And of course we have on the Luchos Ha'edus, you can see here in item number 2, the Kruvim, and there essentially Hashem's voice emanates in communion with Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk says in number 2, "Benoarti l'chashom b'dibarti l'chom yal kaporis mibein shnei Kruvim asher alarun ha'edus kol asher tzevel scha el b'nei Yisrael." And then of course you have as well other kelim that are critical, such as the Shulchan. Shulchan, of course, the Lechem Aponim, the 12 Lechem Aponim are placed on it each Shabbos. And as well, you have the menorah with the 7 branches. One of the famous kashas that's asked by all the Gedolei Rishonim, and it's a very obvious question, self-evident. In the Parsha of Tetzaveh, you'll notice in Perek Lamed, so there, the Torah mentions the Mizbach HaKtoras. And the Farshim right away are concerned about the placement of that Mizbech, because the Klei HaMishkan are found in Parshas Truma, and in the Tzaveh we have Bigdei Kohuna. So why did the Torah decide to dafka place the Mizbech HaKtores at the end of the Tzaveh? Why is it not found in the Parsha of Truma, together with the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah? That would seem to be the appropriate placement for the Mizbech HaKtores. It's interesting that in Vayakel Pekudei, where the Torah reviews that which the Torah has recounted already in Truma Tetzaveh, so there it's very clear, in Perek Lamed Zayin, there the Torah mentions all 4 items that are listed together. So why Dafka, in its initial presentation, when the Torah articulates the Klei HaMishkan, the Torah decided that somehow the character of the Mizbech HaKtores is markedly different from all the other Klei HaMishkan, and therefore, in terms of its placement, it needs somehow a unique kind of position. Ibn Ezra has this kasha. And take a look at number 3. Ibn Ezra provides the question, but then a rather cryptic, kedarko kind of answer to this question. Why is it not found in its proper place with the other Klei HaMishkan in Truma? That means metaphorically. The son of a response that the Ibn Ezra is giving. Ki hakavod lo yomush. The divine glory, the glory of Hashem, the covenant of Hashem, never departed from his dwelling in the Mishkan. Al-Kain, Ha'aron de Muskise. The Aron represents the throne of Hashem. V'hinei ha-menorah v'shulchan aruch. And you also have the menorah, and you have the shulchan aruch. U'moshe hiskira l'vnei Yisrael achar ha-menorah v'chein b'maseh. What in heaven's name is Ibn Ezra saying? This Ibn Ezra was the, in our home when I grew up at a very young age. My father was a chassid gadol Ibn Ezra and felt constrained to understand even the most convoluted Ibn Ezras, and even the Ibn Ezras that were, as this one, rather mysterious in nature. I don't think we ever succeeded in ferreting out what the Ibn Ezra's intention was till I heard Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal comment on this Ibn Ezra. He said the Ibn Ezra apparently assumes that the Mishkan is not simply a locale for the purpose of Karbonos. I imagine you're aware of the famous Machlokes that say basically it's the Rambam against all the other Rishonim. That's the only way to put it, which is Kedarko Shel Rambam. All the Rishonim assume what the Pasuk says. What's the primary function of the Mishkan? Amakav Hashuas Hashchina. Vasil Migdash V'Shachati B'Sochem. It couldn't be clearer than that. What does the Rambam say? That was a different take on the matter. Look at the 11. He writes it both in Sefer Mitzvahs and number 12. And the Rambam actually has it elsewhere. In 11 he writes, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Seh Lasos Bayis Hashem, Mucha Lios Makrivim Bar Korbanos, V'chol Gnei Lov Shalosh Pam Bashana. There's a mitzvah aliyah l'regel that takes place, utilizing the Mishkan as that modus operandi, and also as a means to bring korbanos. Now, you might argue that's what the Rambam means. But the Rambam is quite capable of saying what he means. He knows exactly how to articulate an idea. If he meant Hashuas Hashchina, he would have written it. In Sefer Mitzvahs, once again, and here this is already, as you can see in a moment, 12. Ishe tzibanu lindos be'samchiyo la'avoda, primary avoda, bo ye hakrova v'avarasa eish tamid, as the pasuk said, eish tamid tukar al mizbech l'sichbe, ve'elov tiyeh halicha v'aliyah l'regel v'akibus b'chol shana. So again, here again, the Rambam reformulates what he said earlier, but a bit more elaborately. Bo amori yisaleh v'asul yimigdash. Kvabiyanu shezeh haklal kolo minim harbe, minim rabim, ha-menorah, ha-shulchan, ha-mizbech, v'zulasan, kula michel ki ha-migdash, v'akol yikari yimigdash. So the Rambam clearly does not agree with Rav Rishonim, who assume a pashit, that the primary function of Migdash, of Mishkan, is the Makom Hashuas Hashchina. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the Ibn Ezra, going back again to item number 3, Ibn Ezra apparently is trying to tell us something about the Mishkan. Mishkan is not just the locale for the purpose of sacrifices or korbanos. If that were its exclusive use, so a specifically designated Mizbeach would have sufficed without requiring an elaborate structure with all kinds of furnishings that seemingly are unrelated to Karbanos. The basic motivation of Binyan HaMikdash, says the Ibn Ezra, is to provide a house for Hashem. And the Ibn Ezra writes, if you look at item 4, Vayidaber, he's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu after the Cheder Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu, once again, comes to Hashem, Vayichal Moshe Esbnei Hashem Elokav, and asks Hashem for propitiation that Chal Yisrael should achieve kapora, says the Ibn Ezra, Ba'aloi Sevo Shehor, Dibelo Adra Mishkan, Ba'atam, Sheyasu Migdash Hashem Anishkot, Anichbod, V'yishkot B'soichot, V'shom Yedabri and Moshe, V'lo Yala Ar, and elsewhere in Chafei, in Shemos, he writes, Nikwa Migdash, Ba'avur HaYesem Mishkan Hashem HaKadosh. So the Ibn Ezra apparently understands the basic motivation, Binyan HaMigdash, is to provide a Bayis Hashem, a house for Hashem. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Cheder Egel, speaks to Hashem about the Mishkan, its purpose was for Hashem to dwell there, and from there Hashem would speak to him, and there's no longer any need to ascend the mountain. The Ramban, Lichora, in item number 5, as I mentioned, seems to agree with this position. In the Iker Achavis for Mishkan, who mekom menuchas Hashchina shu aram. So the Menevra therefore explains that in Pashas Truma, the Torah only is including which items? Those items that essentially characterize a house. What are the essential items of any home? Aron, Shulchan, Menorah. And those, Lo Yomush, he writes, HaKavod Lo Yomush, the divine glory the covenant Hashem will never depart. So in effect, the Yasu in the Migdash Shachani Besochem conveys the symbolism of an abode as to the names Mishkan and the name Beis HaMikdash. So obviously the Mizbech HaTorah does not belong there. Why does it not belong there? Why does it belong in the Pasha of Tisabeh? It's a functional object. It's an object which is used for Kohanim to go ahead and burn the Torah on a daily basis. Its purpose is pragmatic, utilitarian. It's not to contribute to the symbolism of a bayis. And a Mishkan essentially is a bayis, according to the Ibn Ezra. And it's true that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to construct the Mizbech HaTorah at the same time as the Aron Shulchan and Menorah, and as I mentioned, you look at Vayakhel, the Perek Lama Zayin, I think it's Pasuk Chafei, if I'm not mistaken. So there it mentions clearly they were constructed at the same time, but only the first three items established the dwelling character of the Mishkan. So the Mishkan, according to Ibn Ezra, is a Bayis Lashem. Our Soloveitchik at the Sheva Brachas compared this to a home that a Chassid and Kala are going to build. And he used the following analogy to describe the minimal furnishings that characterize a home that usually Chassid and Kala at the outset of their marriage are not always in a position to necessarily afford all kinds of what they call here luxus, all types of luxuries and the like, but the basics. Where do we see the basics? So the Rav referred to the Pasha of the Isha Shunamis. In Melachim Beis, you have it in item number 6. If you remember, the Isha Shunamis invited the Navi, Elisha, that he could be a permanent guest in a home whenever he was traveling, and he's a kind of 5-star hotel for lodging. So she was willing to provide with that. Achnosa Sorchin. Pasuk says over there, it's one of our famous apteris. Nasen no alias kirktano, like some sort of a attic on the roof. Vinasim lo shon, mita, vishulchan, vikisei umenera. Those are the basics. V'hoyim b'vor eleinu yosu shama. So this will be his abode, a kind of hafnasa sorchim that she is providing for the Navi. And what is mentioned there among the items? A bed, a shulchan, a table, a chair, and a candlestick. That's the extent of it. So the Mishkan being symbolically, according to Ibn Ezra, the dwelling of Hashem, requires those basic furnishings. So let's start. Where's the mita? So the mita in Tanakh, and you have a series of psukim here that indicate that, is clearly the kruvin, and they're not kodesh, that constitute a kind of couch from which Hashem addressed Moshe Rabbeinu. There are many references in Tanakh and Midrashi Chazal to Hashem as Yoshev HaKruvim. Take a look in 7. Start with Melachim Beis. Vayisbal Chizkiyahu l'vnei Hashem, vayomer Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Yoshev HaKruvim. Sitting, reclining, hovering over the Kruvim. Yishmol Aleph, Perek Dalet. Vayishlach Ha'am. Vayishra Mishamnes, Aron Bris Hashem Tzvokos, Yoshev HaKruvim. Shmuel Beis Perek Vav, Aron Elokim Hashem Yikos Shem Hashem Tzvokos, Yeshu HaKruvim Olo, Yecheskel, Vayetzi Kvon Hashem Yal Miftan HaBayis, Vayamon Al HaKruvim, and the Tanchuma, in Vayakel, Kisi HaKavar Ayam HaKruvim Kineg Shnei HaKruvim, Shehoya Bahem Vashobo Shakarit Bochu. Now the Tanchuma refers to the Kisi HaKavar, Hashem's throne being located, so to speak, over the two Kruvim. And in addition, we have several other items that are part of the furnishings of the Mishkan and of a home. The lamp, the menorah, the table, the shulchan. Of course, our salvation said, that's all the chasen v'kala require. Shulchan, kisei, and menorah. And that's sufficient. I think I mentioned that when the Rav was in Berlin, we don't know much about what exactly happened there. He rarely spoke about it. I asked his son-in-law, Agoin, at Tzadik, Avan Lichasin, Tzatzal, a number of times, what he heard from the Rav about his stay in Berlin, and he said very little. The Rav didn't talk about it. After the Rav had anathema for Germany, that's the understatement of the year, Chas v'shalom, we should ever buy a German product, God forbid. At that time, I don't know if it's still popular, Volkswagens, German Volkswagens. Like here, the car that was popular, I don't know if the Volkswagen was popular here, and that's itself, but the French cars. Okay, so, and any other German appliance? Someone just asked me this week, someone from the shul, and they buy a German appliance, which is outstanding. They compared all the appliances from Germany, elsewhere in Europe, America, and Adome, they're the best. Are we still Ke'ilu? Because you heard me speak about Rav Soloveitchik's almost visceral kind of reaction to German products. He said, is that still applicable? So I didn't know exactly what to tell him. So I told him, the idea is probably mutter. I don't think it's awesome to buy a German appliance. But again, and then he began a discussion with me about, are there still anti-Semites living in Germany? Well, he shouldn't have phrased it in such a fashion. Then I proceeded to demonstrate, to show him, people have given me a spate of articles over the years regarding that issue, anti-Semitism in Europe in general and in Germany. Even though there are a lot of Jews living in Germany today, Israelis who live in Frankfurt and the like. Okay, but Bekitzer Vika did is fairly permissible. But anyway, so the story in Berlin is that, Bekitzer, I'll just mention it. This was told to me by a beautiful Talmud Chacham, and he has a son-in-law, Rav Daniel Spitzer, who actually davened in my former shul. So his shmer, his name is Rav David Greenberg. He's a master Talmud Chacham. He taught here in Sadach Chinuch in the 60s. He's a man, Baruch Hashem, Zokin Muflo. He actually wrote a beautiful place in Sefer HaTehillim. So he told me the following story. In the 60s, he's teaching Soloveitchik's article called Odi Dofek. And in comes a supervisor, Mefakech, a German supervisor, comes into the room. Usually the supervisor came in, they remained there for a few minutes just to be Yitzhak. And this one stayed there the entire time. So he was frightened. He was sure he's going to be fired at the end of the class. At the end of the class, the German supervisor comes over to him and tells him, you probably wondered why he stayed here so long, which is not the norm for Mefakim, neither in this system or in any other system for that matter. I'll tell you why, because you were teaching Rav Soloveitchik's Golda Didofek, and I was with him in Berlin. I was in the university with him. We were classmates. And then he proceeds to tell the following story. And then I asked Rav David Greenberg myself, after Rav Spitzer, his son-in-law, told me, then from time to time, his shvei used to come and visit his children, his grandchildren. And so I twice pressed him on the specifics of the story in order to make sure I have it in place. And Mekitza Nimrods, there were two people who came to Berlin and who arrived there clearly very late. What does that mean? Usually students would come a year before to prepare for the entrance exams. Otherwise, you can't get into a European university without taking entrance exams. You have to be proficient in all these areas, unlike America. Probably South Africa, the same thing. Anyway, so there were two people who appeared 2 or 3 months before. Who are they? One of them, the name was Schneerson. The other name was Soloveitchik. One was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechanu Livracha. One was the Soloveitchik, Zechanu Livracha. They were the two individuals who appeared on the scene 2 or 3 months before. So the students thought, what a chutzpanim these two guys are. A bunch of upstarts. They don't take the whole university seriously. Okay, then the exams were given, and they post the scores outside. The two highest scores, Schneerson and Soloveitchik. I asked them, who got the highest score? He didn't know. Anyway, so the... okay, classes take place. Guess what? Two people don't appear in the classes. Bichlal, which two? Schneerson and Soloveitchik. They're not there. He goes to every class. And the exams are given. Scores are posted. Who gets the highest scores? Schneerson and Soloveitchik. What is going on here? The Jewish students, they were wondering, what's happening over here? They decided, we have to find out. Obviously, they must have some, they're engaged in some sort of subterfuge, or who knows what, some portentum, what do they call that? At least in my days, called them mnemonic notes or crib sheet notes or whatever, that they're somehow utilizing in order to get the scores that they get. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they didn't want to start up with, they were frightened of him. He was sitting in Talsonville in Kaliyo. He was an Ish Kodesh. They saw right away an angelic kind of figure, Amalach Hashem Tzvakos. They were afraid to start up with him, the Jewish students. So eventually they figured, Yeah, of course. So eventually they figured, okay, we'll see what will happen. So one Rosh Chodesh, he went to davening. Davening is longer. He used to leave the university campus. And they broke into his room. And what do they see there? They figure they're going to find all kinds of notes and who knows what. They see the following. I use it because of this. Shulchan, Kisei, Menorah, an Aron Svarim that had a Shas, a Rambam, and two or three Rishonim. And Kisveyad all over the table. Chidush Yeter, they was writing Kisveyad. They were beside themselves. How is that possible? What's going on here? How does he function in terms of the exams? They came to one ineluctable maskano. These two must be geniuses. Correct statement. Okay. So I say that because Shulchan Kisim Menorah. Those are the basic furnishings. As Soloveitchik said, that's what the Chasam V'Kala require. Nothing more. So, obviously, the Rebbe Shem does not need a dwelling place. And this is also a Medrash found in Shmei Sraba. Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Atem Basar Adam Tzrichim B'Kol Zeh. Eini Tzarech. Your flesh and blood. You need all this. You need a home. A menorah for light. A table for food. As for me, what does Rebbe Shem say? Ein lefanai lo achila v'lo shtia. Eini Tzarech Mar. I don't require any light. V'avodah Yochichel. Ki Hashemesh v'yarech me'irim v'kol ha'olam. V'ani Ashpi aleh mori. I have the sun and the moon that serve me, that are ministering to Hashem. And clearly Hashem is the one who provides them with the luminous qualities that they have in Cain. Asum Hashem chafetzim. Do whatever you so desire. El asu asum kasheni mitzav eschem. Shenem abasul dimigdosh. Asul limenorah. Yosisa shulchan. Yosisa mizbeach miktar toras. What was the Mishkan basically? A concession to man's emotional need for some tangible reassurance of Hashem's proximity and immediate presence. That's what it was all about.
Why is the Aron and Kisei?
Why is the Aron?
Kisei.
Again, I can't exactly connect the items. I have a similar issue that you have as well. Do you want to hear a drash? But you won't be happy with that. But I'm just more or less saying over what I heard. But the Rav, I think the question is a good question. It's a legitimate question. But clearly, Ben Ezra has this in mind. There's no question about it. We have to just make the exact connection, which is not so simple. We know that the Medrash, the famous Medrash, asked the Kasha in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Medrash asked in the Pasuk in Melachim, how is it possible? That's the issue that the Mekubalim dealt with. How could a finite space encompass an infinite being? How could the infinite fit into the finite? That's the main issue that the entire Kabbalah is concerned with. That is the sole concern of Kabbalah. Whatever tirutzim they come up with. The other night I was at a chasana, so I met Avinoam Frankel, who translated Nevesh HaTzimtzum of the. He wants actually that we should invite him here for one day. I told him I will bring Nether. And also recently he translated another sefer called Shemir Emunah Makadma, which I told him to translate 10 years ago. And he did. A fantastic work. Absolutely fantastic, the amount of effort he put into it. But Sonat Tzimtzum, somehow, whatever it means, I'm not Ani Lovet Bachet in the area of Kabbalah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow engaged in sort of self-contraction. As a result, there was a finite space left, and then the infinite was able to enter that finite space, whatever that means. So the Medrash speaks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu contracting himself in a small space while simultaneously being omnipresent throughout the world. Means Hashem is both Ein Sof, he's both transcendent, and imminent, that's the sort of Tzimtzum, that's able to, both of them are able to somehow combine, merge together. I mean, that's what the Medrash writes over here, in number 9, Amr Rabbi Shua Diskinin, that Shua Diskinin, or Sichnin, rather, he said, name of Rabbi Levi, why does he compare it to the Mashal Ma'adav, Adoymi L'marash, Inasun Al-Sfas Hayam? It's like a cave which lies by the seashore. Ruash Hayam, the tide rises, V'nismala Amara, and the cave becomes full of water, but the sea is not lacking. Nothing is missing. The Mishkan is filled with the radiance of the Shekhinah. The world was no less filled with the glory of Hashem. And again, as I said, you look at number 10, also another Medrash. And And Ani Mevakesh as well, Mitoy Chasne. So, as I said, this how at the Shem Brothers, our Salabeshik saw the building of a home of a Bais Nava Israel as a building of a Mishkan, B'Shachanti, B'Soicham, as Chazal say, Loshen Rabbi, Mitoch Kalecha Ve'echa, that's a Abchaim Aloshina, and many others actually comment on this idea and this notion. But the Yisod of Ibn Ezra is basically the Yisod that he said over, namely, that a home is essentially, in the case of the Mishkan, it's the home of Hashem Yisbarach. Now, as I said before, the Rambam does not agree. I read the Rambam here in item 11 and item number 12 a few moments ago. The Rambam clearly disagrees with this, understanding the purpose of Binyan HaMikdash is to provide a place where Karbonos are going to be offered. And Aliyah the Regal will take place, as Shishis HaAmam, against Rov HaRishon. Kimat, Rov Dali HaRishon don't agree. The Pasuk says, Lassu HaMikdash, V'shachandu B'sochem, Tzabokem, Vashras HaShina. And the Rambam says, no, it's not intended as a dwelling for Hashem. And the truth of the matter is that the Rambam says above in Sefer HaMitzvos, as well as saying it in the, as you see, in Beis HaBchira. And of course, this is consistent with the Rambam's general position. Namely, the Rambam rejects anthropomorphism in Tanakh. Chazal say, Dibra Torah Kilshon B'Ne'odah. That's a well-known Yisod in Chazal. Rambam loved Unkelus. Why was he so in love with Unkelus? He felt that was the greatest parish ala Torah that existed. Because Unkelus is Nizar. Unbelievable zahirus regarding anthropomorphic and anthropopathic expressions relating to Hashem Yisbarach. That's the Yisod in Unkelus. There are a few exceptions to the rule of food, Yotzim and Akval, such as in Vayigash. That's where the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov Avinu before he was about to go down to Mitzrayim. He was frightened to go down to Egypt. Hashem told him, Anochi Eirin Mecham Mitzrayim, Anochi Alch Lagav Oloi, V'yaisiv Yashis Yodav Alein Nechon. Another 10 minutes and I'll be finished. But I'll try not to interfere with you. So there, the Unkelus translates it literally. Usually Unkelus translates, Anochi Eved, Vivarsham Isgale. I'll reveal myself. Kesedin. My father, Avashom, he's still on Unkelus with us. From the time we're 7, 8 years old. I'm not exaggerating. All right. I need to say that. Okay. You haven't lost your sense of humor, Daniel. So, Kimat, across the board, Unkelus is pretty consistent with this issue. With the exception, in Vayigash, where the Ramban goes by Arichos, again to discuss this Unkelus, why he somehow decided to change, alter his position, and the Rambam's position in general. So I would suspect that the reason why the Rambam had difficulty with all the Rishonim, who understood Vassal and Migdash Shachad B'Soicham as referring to the book of Ashras HaShechina, because he rejected anthropomorphism in Tanakh. And therefore the Rambam could not handle this entire understanding that Rav Rishonim had. So therefore the Rambam defines the Mishkan in terms of Kavanos, in terms of Aliyah LeRegel. That's what he writes in Beis HaPtira, that's what he writes in Sefer HaMitzvos. And in general, the Rambam interprets that all the any usage in Tanakh of physical terms or tendencies for Hashem are to be interpreted metaphorically. Ad Rabba. Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnayos, take a look here. I put it down on number 13. Pirush HaMishnayos, to ascribe to Hashem any corporeal qualities, they went upstairs. I'm sorry. To ascribe to Hashem any corporeal qualities, according to the Rambam, is absolutely blasphemous. Something which is beyond the pale. Look at the writes over here. Hayisod Ashlishi, Shlilas Hagashmus Mimenu. There's no way you can ascribe any kind of gashmus, any kind of physical, material presence to Hashem. B'zeh namin ki echad hazeh shezacharnu eno guf, lo kach veguf, lo yasigeu maros hagufim. That's one of the Yigim Likim in the Ramah. Ein lo guf, ein lo masigei guf. Even though there are Rishonim who did agree with him. That's one Rishon, actually, Abbas of Albo, argues with the Rambam. Who made you in charge of Ikri Adas? Who put you in charge? And I don't want to add what Kafal's afterwards. Hello again, Yatoyme. They thought it was an absolute chutzpah on his part. And yet the Rambam's position was clearly accepted. And true suffix. So he writes here, Abba Mashabah Bikisi Akedish Mitaino Sobatari Aguvos Kumalicha Amida Aishiva Adiba Akol Dera Hashalom. Doesn't not to be taken literally. Well known Rambam. That's probably why the Rambam rejected, as I said, the entire position of the Dalia Rishonim. Notice when it says Vasli Midov Shahadi Bisaikham is to be understood figuratively, as referring to probably great intimacy and fervency that's achieved by people who are coming to David, to Hashem Yisbarach. The word carbon also connotes that meaning. Carbon means to come close to Hashem. Bikar Vasam Mame Hashem, as it said by the children of Aaron HaKohen, not of Abiyu, Bikar Vasam Mame Hashem, by Yamusu. And those the symbolic spiritual teachings that are inherent in each of the items of the Mishkan, and the Rambam has in Moreh Nevuchim, along Arichus, very famous in the Chelek Gimel of Moreh Nevuchim. That's a beautiful Sefer. When I was in Itri, so during the Musa Seder, elephants, that's how the Rosh Yeshiva took me to test. I learned what I consider to be Musa Svarim, the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam Hilchos Deyos, Musa Svarim. And then I finished with that. He said, what are you doing next? I said, I'm learning Moreh Nevuchim. El Chasev and Musa, Golda Mizeh. Moreh Nevuchim is an unbelievable Musa Sefer. It has many other elements to it as well. There are philosophic elements. And there are other approaches in Moreh Nevuchim, but it's a Musa Sefer beyond belief. There are Yisoides, nuggets of Musa in the Moreh Nevuchim that are remarkable, beyond remarkable. And the course of my state of nature, we went to the entire Moreh Nevuchim during the Musa Sefer. So then he told me, Chedesh Elul. So I was masking. I learned some Shari Chura Rabbi Yehuda. That's a Lomdush Sefer. So it was fine. So every equation is reversible. If a Mishkan, according to Ibn Ezra, can be a home, so too every home can be a Mishkan. This is what Rasalechi said over at the Shiva Brachas. That's what I'm just reporting to you. So we too can accommodate Hashem in our homes by implanting there all the spiritual elements of a bias as described by the Isha Shunamis, namely a bed, a shulchan, a kisei, a menorah. Then our Soloveitchik, Atisha Baruch said that he thought homiletically that these items that I mentioned just now represent, number one, Taras HaMishpacha. That's clear. And then Kashrus, and Hachnasa Sorchim, and Limud HaTorah, as you have in the Pasuk here in Mishlei, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, that's a Gemara. They are well-known psukim. So a home that's furnished with such spiritual furniture will unquestionably hear the voice of Hashem. And in such a mishkan, Hashem finds his dwelling. So all this is essentially the yisod of Ibn Ezra. That's what Ibn Ezra is saying, describing the house of Hashem. So let me just perhaps a little bit fill this in, and then I will finish momentarily. Way we describe now the Machlokas the Rambam and other Rishonim. So, as I said, I mentioned this a few moments ago, that one of the kashas that many ask, it's a medrash, it's this kasha. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need a makam yuchad for? Why does he need a bias? Why is it necessary? Why does he need a makam v'achnasa sorchi? And that's the question of Shlomo HaMelech that he asked in the Lachem Aleph over there, I think it's a paraches, in the investiture. Hinei HaShamayim Mishmei HaShamayim Bo'echal Gulucho. The heavens cannot contain the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what exactly, what's the answer to that kasha? So if you read carefully the Pesukim of Tanakh, I taught that parak many, many times, parakhes, the Melach of Aleph. The answer to this question is not to be found there. It mentions over there, Dios Enech Psuchos, Beato Tishra Shamayim, and then it discusses different types of catastrophic situations which warrant tefillah. As a matter of fact, upstairs, they went upstairs. Okay, I'm sorry. Shekach. I think I drove them upstairs. I apologize. I just right now still am having difficulty getting up there, so I hope you'll forgive me. We'll get more schach halicha. So what's the answer to that question? That is the makor, by the way, that the Ramban quotes for his understanding that tefillah-based tzoras daraisa. Because there the Navi speaks about different situations that Rav, Milchama, Batsoret. So Ramban holds that Tfilat Abaran, that's the Pashas of the Gemara of Shas. With the exception of Eis Tzara, now the only question is, Rasul, Eish Yitro, there's not Machlegis. The only question is, how to define an Eis Tzara? Is an Eis Tzara a catastrophic situation that the Navi describes in the Lachabal Perifes? Oh no, Eis Torah means existentially, because of our insecurity. We are constantly, we're perpetually Eis Torah. Never know what could happen. One little infection in the leg, and one's entire homeostasis is completely upended. So that's the issue between the two. I remember hearing this many times from the Rav, and I, v'bchilas kvodo hagadol, ani akot v'adal, don't understand where he saw this in him. I've been trying to study this. Maybe you'll help me. Dr. Blashlita, I need help for this understanding of the Rambam. It's not in the Mor Nevuchim, it's not in the Mishneh Torah, not anywhere of the sources that are familiar with. The Rambam speaks about tefillah, tef ha-mitzis, this havon, the Rambam. It's beautiful. I'm not denying the beauty of it. The only question is to travel Rambam. So just to make a long story short, it's clear that the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, is primarily a makom tefillah. We say that. Rabbi Yosim, everyone likes to sing that. Rabbi Yosim al Har Kochi, I was told the Rosh Hashanah, that's where there's, I was told Dr. Stern, that's when they're supposed to sing. I don't know exactly. Abu Shneitos and Rambam. But anyway, Rabbi Yosim al Har Kochi, Misimachim, Beis Tvilosi, Oyle Sam, Nizvachem, Rosam, Izbechi, Ki Beis Tvil, Beis Tvil, Yikori, Lechal Amin. It's very clear. And the Beis HaMikdash is primarily a makom tefillah. And you take a look at this idea, it sounds also in many, many Mefarshim. But the point is apparently that what's the inyan of Hashuas Hashchina b'makom mugbal in a specific place in order that we should be able to find Hashem's bracha. Of course, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. He's omnipresent. There's no need to somehow limit him to one makom. However, because we are essentially material, we are physical, we are finite, so we need a specific locus that a person can be, can encounter the Shechina. That's the whole inyan of tefillah. He writes over there in Perek Dalet, as if I'm standing in the presence of the Shechina and I'm having a rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole idea. In Perek Hey, I believe in Hilchos Tefillah, he writes, Ki'ilu hu oimim b'shamayim, as if I'm standing in heaven and having a conversation with Hashem Yisbarach. And in the Lonely Man of Faith, very classic, I think it's Soloveitchik's most profound article. So there he has a excursus, he compares tefillah and nevuah. That nevuah is also a kind of dialogue with Hashem Yisbarach. Matter of fact, that's what all the Rishonim write. Nevuah is with Lashon Nifs Vasayim, food of the lips. But there's a conversation with Hashem Yisbarach on the part of the Navi. But the distinction is that in one case, I take the initiative. In the other case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the initiative. Anyway, we know that this notion, the Mikdash, is also a Mokum Teira, the Lishkas HaGozis. Of the Sanhedrin was dafke found in the Mishkan. The Gemara says that we come to the Elisim, Lach Misham, Mokum Gairim. The Mokum referring to, of course, Lav Dafke, Lish Sagozin, Lo Bisham Midosh, is a Mokum Terah, a Mokum Fila. And therefore, this Hashuras Hashchina, in effect, is really the son, as I said, of Abayas. And I will just mention the last thing is that Asolechi was very fond of saying that there are two Chalokim in the Midosh. One Chalok is actually Kodesh Kodoshim and the Echel. Dolly Yisrael, he said, usually if you examine them, primarily, were very private. Most Gedolei Yisrael were incredibly private. Rav Soloveitchik was a very, very private person. Very little is known about many aspects of his life, not just the Berlin period, which was a fair number of years, but many other aspects completely hidden. He never spoke about himself, never. And other Gedolei Yisrael also, their lives are Mukav Mechitzis, Tzonua, and even the Rishus HaRabim aspect of their lives, where they say public Shiurim, etc., and the like. But that essentially is also the only time they emerge, the only time they appear in a public kind of setting. So most of the Torah that Gedolei Yisrael learned, they learned it b'chidus, they learned it on their own, privately. Of course, they also teach Torah Baruch Hashem, and that's what helps us. But at the end of the day, our salvation is to call all these Gemaras, the Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara says, Noch nafshi derav, b'riches mezen el gamina. Famous Gemara. The Gemara says, where is that? Mem Gimel. Gemara said that I don't even know how to bench because they didn't sufficiently learn from their Rebbe. Or the example the Gemara has in at the end of, I think it's the end of Dal Mises Bezdin, but the Gemara says, L'chasarte me'em k'kelev ha'malaki menayam. Afilu k'machlo b'shoferes. At the end of the day, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu gave to his Talmud, Yeshua ben Nun, b'chaliba b'chonasho, but p'nei Moshe k'nei chama p'nei Yeshua k'nei levano, it's not the same. So the idea, of course, to the Mishkan, again, just to summarize, the way the Ibn Ezra presents it over here is a makom where a person, where a Jew can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very specific locale. And that's essentially what every home should be, a makom, which is a mishkan, a bayis that has the basic furniture that I mentioned here, shulchan, kisim, menorah, and all of our homes in Nes Hashem should become, if they already are, they should become even on a higher level, the kemis v'ashuas hashchina, where we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ideal kind of fashion. By the way, that explains also the chazal, the basis of Ishto. I just spoke to a young couple this week, getting married very shortly, and I explained to them, and to so the husband, the future husband says, Rabbi, what about me? What am I, chopped liver? See, chopped liver. I said, I wasn't sure exactly what that phrase means. I keep people using it all the time. Americans use that phrase. What's wrong with chopped liver? I have to like chopped liver. I don't see exactly what the issue is, but he meant, why are you just focusing on my kala as opposed to focusing on me? I said, because Beis Hazu Ishto, she's the key. Ishvi Isha, without the this left side, there's no Shechina. You want to bring about the Shechina Shuvah Shalem? Beis Hazu Ishto, that's the approach. That's what our salvation said in the Shara Brachas, and that's the approach we have to take. Thank you very much.